Boy, howdy. Did I enjoy my summer hibernation? Man, I'm just waking up here in time to look through the old desk here, go through some papers, get things organized. And wait a minute, what's this on my calendar? Drunkard's Walk Podcast. What is that? Matt Hartman, what are you doing here?
Just observing and listening and wondering how you spelled podcast on your calendar.
Just the usual way. Oh, is that, am I pronouncing it incorrectly?
You are pronouncing it wrong. Yeah, it's actually okay. Podcast.
Podcast.
That's it. That's podcast. It. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I noticed that because I can see you because we are on Zoom. You tried to shuffle some papers, but your microphone, thanks to Zoom, cut that out. So we didn't even hear the papers ruffle.
Well, I will work on getting a better microphone that can accurately get the paper shuffled.
Nope. It's Zoom. Zoom is in charge here. It's cutting out that audio. But
well, I will write a letter to Elon Musk forthwith.
As you should. What? Why would you write a? Anyway, Jethro, it is so good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing quite well. I am doing quite well.
Yeah. That's great. That's great because you had given me an invite to come over to your place sometime and hang out, and I stopped by last week, and the people who answered the door were not very pleased with me. Jethro, where did you go?
Yes. So the home that I once lived in, I no longer live in, although it is somewhat curious that there were people there who answered the door because we have not finished closing on the home yet. So there should be no one there. You met squatters, I'm assuming.
But today is October 11th, Jethro.
Oh, yes, it certainly is. In that case, you met the owner, the current owners of the home, because as we all know, time exists as a single point. Mm-hmm. And anything that is true right now has always been true.
Which is odd that you were gone then. But anyway, what happened? Where did you go? Because I came over to your place. I mean, I know it's your address. And as you said, you used to live there. Where did you go? Where are you, man?
Well, my wife and I decided that we would, in a completely stress-free project, we would pack everything we own and put it in two trucks and then drive those trucks to a new place and unpack them and load them into a new house, some random home that we picked. And that's what we did. It was a fun summer project. And
wait, are you saying that you moved?
We did, in fact. We no longer live.
In the UK, they say moved house. You moved house.
No one says that.
They do. They do. Well, they 100% do.
Well, that's why their country is a failing economy, because they waste extra time by saying moved house when they could just say moved. And that's why Americans are more productive.
It is that. Well, where did you, so are you, you're still in Pittsburgh though, right?
No, we left the city and state.
I was trying to figure out why we didn't win best podcast on Best of the Berg. It's because you're not in the Berg anymore. Well, that makes total sense. I thought it was some other reason.
I explicitly posted that every vote for us would have been a fraud and a lie. And please don't vote for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well done.
Another podcast, which also didn't win. So that gives you an idea of the hand I hold.
For what?
I picked a competitor and I voted for them and lobbied for them vigorously, which again, failed miserably.
Well, all right. Well, so anyway, where did you move to?
House, a new house. Well, not a new house, a used house, a house that had previously been occupied by other people, but a new house.
I feel like you're skirting around the specific location that you moved to.
Don't worry. The house does have a specific location.
Oh, great. Can you tell me what it is? Because I'd love to come and visit you, or maybe send you a holiday card of some kind or something.
I feel like, some things are better left unsaid, and that's probably, I will say that we are still on Earth. So that is, we're still Earthlings. So if they do have a thing for like Earth's best podcast, hey, I'm there for Drunkard's Walk 100%. Mm. Well, I mean, assuming our season holds up, I'm not going to prejudge how well the season may or may not.
You're not going to vote for us just on name only.
I can't vote just because it's us. You know, that would be absurd and favoritism of the worst kind.
Yeah. Not the worst kind. Jethro,
is that what everybody else is doing for the best of Berg? They're just voting for themselves and promoting their own projects?
and they're friends. Yeah.
Then it seems like only a popularity contest and not a measure of actual merit.
No.
Oh well, it's a moot point.
I am excited to be back here, though, man. I am because I've missed doing this with you. We the last time we recorded was way back in May of 2022, before all the events of the summer happened.
So many events.
Even though time is a single point, did you say?
Yeah.
But I'm excited to be back here. It's fall, you know, the leaves are turning colors, and it's got that scent in the air, and
pumpkin spice.
Yeah, that's what it is. Pumpkin spice that everybody keeps throwing up, and it's just, you can smell it everywhere around you.
Every October 1st, they change the chemtrails chemicals, yes. And it's just pumpkin spice for the next 3 months.
Well, it has to be. That's a, and I think American Airlines started that. I'm not really sure if it was American Airlines or I was going to say US Air, but they're gone.
They forgot to patent it. So now everybody's doing it.
Yeah. But you know what else it really excites me, Jethro, is that
what excites you?
We not only do we get to walk through Wikipedia from one link to the other, just you know, follow or page to the other using the links on the pages, but we also get to have a guest on. So it's not just you and me. There's also someone else here, Jethro.
Is there? Is it my dog who's barking in the background, or is it somebody else?
It's your dog that's barking in the background. Bring your dog on. What topic Hamilton's do we have beautiful. From your dog? Oh no, no, it's not. No, it's our number one fan, Dave Foreman's right there.
What?
Ruff ruff, everybody.
Hey, Dave Foreman.
Hey.
Well, hey, sound here. just like Jethro's dog.
I was doing a Jethro's dog impression. Yeah, I've been practicing really hard.
It's good. It's good. I like it. I think it's spot on.
I was practicing by hiding outside their house, but now I can't find them anymore. So I've kind of slacked off this fall. But spring season's coming up. I'll get back into training.
There you go.
Just keep picking random houses. Eventually you'll find it. Or you'll die trying. One of the two.
Or both.
Oh, find it and that would be
that's an O.
Henry story right there.
I was gonna say like
open
a little
up,
match
open
girl.
Up my front door to find an exhausted dying Dave Foreman on the front
hand
porch.
On your window like Frankenstein out of a Christmas meal.
Very nice.
Frankenstein didn't have windows,
didn't he?
That doesn't make any sense. No,
he was a Tiny Tim.
You know, Tiny Tim had windows. Yeah, that's right. You could look inside Tiny Tim.
I confuse the two stories all the time.
Frank and Tim. Yeah. They're very similar.
Very similar. Dave, it's so good to see you, buddy. Thanks for being on our very first episode of season 7, which is, you know, it's amazing that we're here, that we've been recording for 7 years. Can you believe that we've been doing this for 7 long years?
I can.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And I love it. And every year is better than the last.
Oh, well, that's what's your problem with the earlier years?
Yeah.
No, I mean, they were great.
I thought you liked everything we did.
I did.
Whatever.
I like them even more now.
Oh, Ball Lightning? Well, I don't know about that.
That was a great episode.
Ball Lightning.
Yeah, Mantis Shrimp.
Oh,
Deep Cuts.
Yeah, look at this.
Greatest.
Drunkard's Walk Superfan.
Yeah, seriously. I love it. Well,
if you don't get these jokes, folks, become a Patreon subscriber.
I know,
and you'll
right?
get access
and then
to
you can
the full catalog.
You can listen to those early episodes. You know, Dave, we actually started a TikTok over the summer because I thought that would make us popular. I was wrong because we have 3 videos posted. One of them has like 20 views. One of them has 40 views, and one of them has 785 views. And you know which video that is?
Which one?
That's the one where we wished you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
You've got the fans out there, man, because everybody's watching the ones that we tag you in. So from now on, every video has a little Dave Foreman love in it.
That works for me. I'll do some Baphomet videos, some Pliny the Elder videos.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah,
I should record. Let me record. I'm going to record a video right now of us recording. Here we are recording.
Ooh, I love
and
it.
Here there they are. There's all of us. Hi, we're right here. And I wasn't on. Oh wait, do it again. Hi, there we are. Yay. No, they can't hear you because I'm wearing headphones. Oh, I'm wearing headphones.
I wonder why the TikTok isn't successful. You got content like this?
It's mit out sound.
It.
It's
I'm
all
not good at
silence.
It. Yeah,
oh, baby.
I'll do a voiceover. It'll be fine.
Just do a dance. You'll be fine.
Oh man, I know all those TikTok dances.
You gotta learn.
Well, we are excited to have you on here, sir. And we went through our topic suggestion list. And for folks that don't know, You can actually follow a link to go give us suggestions through a Google form. And you can find that link on our link tree. And that's just linktree.com/drunkardswalk. But there's a dot between the TR and the EE. If you're not familiar with Linktree, but it's just linktree.com/drunkardswalk. You go over there. All of our links are on there, including the link to our topic suggestion form, which you went on apparently because there was a topic suggestion on there of Prodigy Online Service, which is the parenthetical. What is Prodigy Online Service, Dave?
So I'm an OG inside kid, way back from the 90s playing Nintendo. And then we got a personal computer, and then we got a modem in the back of that personal computer. This was way, way back before there were ISPs or anything. You couldn't even pay someone to connect to the internet. You just had to plug your phone, the computer, and then connect haphazardly. And one of those haphazard online services was Prodigy. It was self-contained. I used to log in and check out bulletin boards and forums. They didn't have, this is way before Internet Explorer. This is before Netscape Navigator. This is before...
Before Mosaic.
Mosaic. I was playing MUDs. I was playing a lot of multi-user dungeons.
Dave, does this sound familiar?
Yeah. Internet connection, is that you?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was. How many baud was your modem?
Oh my goodness. So let me just out nerd myself. For my bar mitzvah, I asked if I could get a 56K modem. So I upgraded my 14.4. Unplugged it out of the back of my tower and put in a 56K modem. Baby, we were surfing on the web.
Wait, 14.4? I thought 14.4 was bigger than 56K.
No, 14.4 kilobits per second. I upgraded to a 56 kilobits per second connection.
Because we had a 4800 baud at one point, then we upgraded from that. But we did the same thing. Our modem was hooked up initially to an Atari 800. Or Atari 800 XL. The 800 didn't actually have a modem, but the 800 XL did. We got a modem for that. And we used Delphi, CompuServe.
Oh, CompuServe, I remember.
And then when we got the PC with the modem in it, I think it was a 386 that we were running at the time. Maybe a 386, they had like a 386 XL or something, a 386 XP or something. Anyway, we also got Prodigy. Wow. So I was on Prodigy as well. Do you remember what your little code number was?
Holy crap. No way. I mean, I was...
You don't remember?
I don't remember my code, no.
I was SNWW22C.
How do you even remember that?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I met a girl at camp who Nobody also had that. Prodigy. I thought I was going to be able to do it. RKBJ68B. That was her. That was her thing, and we. That's how we communicated when we came home from camp. We communicated via Prodigy. Probably that's the incredible. Reason that we like we. That was kind of my first girlfriend.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, never kissed. First never online girlfriend. You know, nothing like that. But we met in person first. We just kept in touch via Prodigy. Please.
No,
please.
I believe it was real.
It was a reverse. It was a reverse catfish. You met a real girl, and then she gave she gave you somebody else's. Prodigy ID.
As she should have. Wow. And then we met again in college. It turns out she went to Penn State also, and we met one time. We met and we were like, hey, how's it going? Good, good. We don't really know each other anymore. All right, well, see you later. And that was it. That we never saw each other again. But yes, I am very familiar with Prodigy, the yellow packaging with the purple star on the front. Mm-hmm. What a great old time that was, getting to know other Star Trek fans and like, I mean, it was all just forums. It was all just like
bulletin boards before bulletin
boards. What are people interested in? And then talk about it. And that was the end of the story. That was even before like internet had porn, I think. Or maybe I was just too young.
Way before. No.
Like, I don't even remember there being an option for
you couldn't
internet porn, which is what I thought the internet was invented for.
You guys, I don't want to be that guy, but you clearly never logged on to one of those Usenet groups that had like ASCII porn.
I did see some of that.
Pornographic pictures. With like asterisks and backslashes.
Yeah. I did see that.
At that time, we were still just wandering into the woods. There was still plenty of porn in the woods.
That's true. Right.
Life finds a way. As
I think the thing is, you know where that stuff was? That stuff was on the BBSs.
Yeah.
Remember BBSs? Yes. Prodigy didn't have that. Because Prodigy was like good old family fun, right? Like, I mean, that's how it existed.
Family focused,
But yeah, and that's why, like, my parents had SNWW22A and SNWW22B, and I was SNWW22C. So that's what you could have different accounts in based on, you know, how many people were in your household.
So you're telling me that the internet service that offered no porn went out of business. Is that, do I understand that correct?
They
didn't
even know a long time.
It got bought by Yahoo, I think. I think Yahoo purchased it.
And how's Yahoo doing?
Well, they still exist, but they're not. I mean, they got bought by somebody too, right? I don't know
Verizon,
who they got bought by. Oh, is it Verizon? Well, so it was around really before, like Dave said, before the internet browsers. And but it did at one point get an internet browser. I do remember, like, later on, Prodigy, like, kind of morphed into a, you could go to prodigy.com and you could access different things through there, right? But this was before. I'm sure it wasn't before the actual World Wide Web, but it was before any of us knew how to use the internet in any kind
before a public web, absolutely. Definitely before Google, before any kind of index searching.
Before Google. Alta Vista.
Lycos. You couldn't ask Jeeves where Prodigy
No, you couldn't ask. Oh, ask Jeeves. I remember when ask Jeeves came out. Yeah, ask Jeeves was more recent, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But Lycos. But yeah, we like that Lycos pool. That was a good one.
Lycos. We moved from Prodigy to an ISP, I think, very early on. As soon as ISPs were available, it was like, why should we pay for a singular service where it's like, you know, like AOL was, where everything was self-contained instead of just being able to access the wilds, westerns of the internet.
AOL was like the popular one. Like AOL, this was like Prodigy was AOL, but like for
Early adopters.
Or I don't even know if early adopters is right.
Like, or nerds.
It could have been around the same time, actually, but AOL was like the, it was like Pepsi, and Prodigy was like, you know, Happy Cola from, you know, Food Lion. You know what I mean? Like it was
Dr. Thunder. Brand.
Yeah, Fago, Dr. Thunder, exactly. Yeah. Mr. Riffic and stuff like that. Well, Dave, this is fantastic. I can't wait to try to get there because we're starting at the Montreal Screwjob.
Wow.
Which I think happened in the 90s. So we might be okay, at least time-wise, but the two don't have too much to do with each other. So that's exciting as well.
I would argue niche, very big niche following. So
big niche following.
Huge niche following.
Huge niche following.
A niche following. Now, let me ask you, Dave, speaking of niche, did you were our a patron, our number one patron for a while there. And you were still, I believe, a patron as is KDT. Did you get your t-shirt?
I did. It's
good.
It's wild.
Oh, good.
Do you know what's on it?
I do. I created it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. It wasn't what I was expecting.
No, it wasn't what you were expecting? No,
it wasn't.
You know, it's been a while since I've seen it, to be honest, so I don't even know. I don't remember. Doesn't it say niche on it?
It does.
Yeah. Well, it's cool.
Yeah. I love it. I wear it with pride.
I don't have one. Do I have to become a Patreon subscriber?
It's the only way to get one. We don't produce those. They are produced by a company that Patreon has. So the only way to get that shirt is to go through Patreon. I mean, I suppose I could design one and put it up on our TeePublic, but that feels like then it would make our patrons not feel as special. So
exactly.
No. You they own the only copy of that shirt, Dave.
I'm going to wear it to the first Drunkard's Walk convention.
Oh, there you go. That'll be great. Three of us are hanging out.
Yeah, I think this is technically a Drunkard's Walk convention.
This might be it right here. Yeah. Well, this is awesome, man. Thank you very much for this topic, and thanks for continuing to listen and being such a great fan, and just for being you, man. It's always so good to see you. Do you have anything before we let you go? Do you have anything to plug? It is October 11th.
Yeah.
Is there anything happening for you that people should watch out for?
In the fall, if you're local or not local, our show or my show, Played at Pittsburgh, second season will be available fall of 2022.
Nice.
So now, look for that on Very Local.
Is there anything more specific than fall of 2022? Because fall is a long time.
It's a long period. If you look outside and there are leaves on the trees,
yes,
and they have not yet fallen off,
right,
there's still opportunity for the show to come out.
Okay. So just keep checking.
I don't have a date yet.
Keep checking, folks.
Let's say, just hypothetically, there are a person who used to live in Pittsburgh who no longer lives in Pittsburgh and lives in a different location.
Would that's like you.
Location.
That's like you.
To see this Very Local show via their non-Pittsburgh internet service?
Mm-hmm. It's possible. Yeah, you go on and just go to the Very Local app. And all you have to do is indicate the Pittsburgh market. So WTAE, it'll ask you what market you want to view, and there it is, played at Pittsburgh. But
there's no verification where they no. come to my Pittsburgh house.
You're not from Pittsburgh. You can't watch this.
Right. Now it's open to anyone nationwide. I want to say internationally too.
Oh, well, there fantastic. You go. So, well, we do have some international listeners, so they should
there we go.
They should tune in.
Yeah, we're huge in Sweden ever Ooh. Since we did that Yildiz episode.
Drunkard's Wild Podcast.
Exactly. Hence my earlier pronunciation.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, we will watch out for that. The first season was awesome. I was gonna have a much better word than awesome, and it just totally left my brain. But it was really
delicious.
Awesome. It was good.
It was delicious.
Oh, delicious. Yes. So watch for that, everybody, and watch for Dave Foreman because he's out there and he's coming for you.
Thank you, guys. This is always such a pleasure to be on here. I love this podcast so much. I would be remiss if I didn't say hi, Dave. Thanks for listening. Also, just like this brings me so much joy just to listen to you guys every week. And it really has been a long break for me. So I'm so glad that you're back. And I cannot wait to listen to every episode this season. Because Aww. No matter who wins, we win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
That is very kind of you to say. And you're always a delightful guest. And
thank you.
Quite frankly, more supporting than some of the other guests that we're married to who occasionally come on.
More supporting than some of the other hosts that are on this podcast.
Shut up, Matt.
Just saying.
Thank you. You're both very lovely. I really appreciate it. Truly. Anytime.
Thank you, Dave. Take care, buddy.
I will be here. Thank you so much. Have a fun walk. Later, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Cheers. Bye.
All right, Jethro. All right.
Prodigy, jumping Montreal, into it. Screw job to Prodigy. Montreal, now, Matt,
that's where we're starting,
if I'm dusting off the old brain cells.
Dust them.
Then it feels like there's two things that we should do at this juncture.
Oh, first, you want to sing Jolene?
I would love to, but I can't, okay. We can't afford the rights.
Okay. All right.
So, I will not sing Jolene.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not until we get the Patreon subscriber numbers up to the point where we can buy the rights from Dolly Parton.
Okay. All right. That's
who deserves every penny, by the way. Every
Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
But no, the two things I were thinking of, number one is let's talk about beverages because this is after all Drunkard's Walk, the podcast.
Yeah.
Are you having a little drinky doodle?
I am. You know, the nice thing about a long hiatus is that it's given me a little bit of time to restock and get in some new bourbons and whiskeys. And so I have this new one that I had not tried before. It is called Rebel. So I'm a bit of a rebel. Rebel Whiskey, sorry. And it is a cask strength. So mm-hmm. It is 120 proof. And it's a limited edition, hand-selected by Fine Wine and Good Spirits, and the barrel was filled on August 18th, 2017, in the before times. So how about that?
Look at that. Well, bravo. 120 proof, you say.
120 proof. It is quite tasty. You know I like the high-proof bourbons, and it does not disappoint. Also, 60%, good for killing coronavirus. So, you know, if you're worried about that,
get yourself some of those. There you go. That and ivermectin are the two guaranteed cures.
That's it. And what about you, sir?
I am sadly, despite the near ubiquity of spirits in the mm-hmm. new location that I've landed, you can buy liquor anywhere. It's not like Pennsylvania where you have to know a guy who knows a guy and you can't buy it.
Not in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so the stuff outside, apparently outside of the Quaker state, that mm-hmm. stuff they sell anywhere. So I was at a Toys R Us earlier, and they tried to sell me some liquor there.
Had you traveled back in time as well?
Listen, I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay.
I will say though that you know what, the Reagan years are great.
Well, that doesn't seem right.
Things are going well in America. It's morning in America once again.
Is it? Yeah.
Indeed. So anyway, long story short, I'm actually having water today.
Okay.
Because I have yet to stock up on the brown liquors that make life so enjoyable. So but if you're drinking a double strength and I'm drinking water, I think it evens out.
It does indeed. And that means that you'll just be much more together as we get toward the end of this walk than I will be. So that sounds
good.
Let's hope. And so you said there were two things to do. So you wanted to talk about that. And what was the other thing?
Yeah. If memory serves, we traditionally have a bit of a wager where we guess the number of steps it will take us to get to our destination.
That's true.
And then,
that's true.
And then there's a bit of a point of pride in who wins the season by guessing the most episodes correctly.
That's true. That's true, Jethro. Now, in previous seasons, we have bet things like bottles of booze. We've bet steaks. Last season, I believe we did both, actually, because of a little thing near the end of the season where, or maybe it was two seasons ago. Anyway, I don't really remember what exactly, but you don't live here anymore. So it's going to be tough to cash in on those types of things. Do you have a suggestion for what should be wagered?
I mean, I'm a creature of habit, so I like steaks and bourbon. And okay. My understanding is that those things can be shipped to the new location.
Oh, so you live in a place where steaks and bourbon can be shipped. Ah, okay. Also good to know. Also
that's right. I live in an urban area that has modern amenities available.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, hold on. I have to write that down and put the red string. There we go. And my board here. Okay. All right. So I've got my board together with my red string and my push pins.
I'm curious, based on the context clues of what I said, where did you attach the red string to?
It's just a card that says shipping of booze and steaks available.
Very good. Very good. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, you've really narrowed it down.
Yeah, I am. Well, I have, because I know that it's not
the Atacama Desert.
A state that you can't do. No, there are some states where you can't ship booze. Pennsylvania used to be one of those states. And there are still states where that is the case. So I know that you're not in any of those states. And you're in a state where it is available to purchase as well. So probably not Utah. Is that a thing? Are you allowed to purchase in Utah? You probably are.
You probably can buy in Utah, although I would imagine they limit the places where it can be purchased.
All right. So you're saying bourbon and steaks is what you want to wager? You don't want to do one or the other? Because that's traditionally we've done one or the other.
No, we can do what I'm just saying that, you know, why fix it if it ain't broken? Let's do a lovely bourbon. Let's make a lovely bourbon.
All right. A bourbon it is. Are we gonna put a cap on the price, or are we just gonna say dealer's choice?
Let's put a cap on the price.
Actually, let's do this. Let's put a minimum on the price.
Okay.
Let's say that it can't be below $30.
Jeez, were you really considering buying the $30?
No, I wasn't. But my point is that is that anything over $30 is gonna, you can get some good bourbons. You can't get a good bourbon for less than $30, but you can get some good bourbons for slightly more than $30. That's what I'm trying to get to.
And by the time the end of the season, who knows where inflation will be. So
exactly. It could be we could have $1,000 bottle of bourbon, but we could all be making, you know, still the same amount that we're making now. So
exactly. Still really the good news is inflation has not affected the Drunkard's Walk podcast at all. It is still the same price for you, the listener.
That's right. Totally free. And remember, it only stays free if we have patrons. Also not true. We don't need patrons for this to be free, but it is free to you, the listener, even though it's not necessarily free to us. So in order for us to
determine, hosting costs are immense.
Yeah, well, in order for us to determine who has won this particular wager, I believe what you were going to point out is that we need to make a prediction on how many links it will take us to get from Montreal Screwjob to Prodigy Online Service. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Friend.
That is correct.
All right. And so just so you know, looking back at our statistics over time, our average over the past six seasons has been 5.6 links per. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything for this one, but just there you go. Now you have information. So I'm going to write down a number, and I'm going to write down this number right here.
What number did you write down?
Nice try. Nice try. I haven't, I'm not that far into my double strength bourbons.
All right. Well, let me know when you are and I will ask it again.
Ask me again and perhaps I will tell you. All right. Do you have your number written as well?
Oh, yes. I don't want to brag, but I know how to write a number.
Well, Jethro, let's get into this then, man, because this is what the fans have been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. Let's get walking, buddy. It's Montreal Screwjob. Here we are. Yeah, and do you remember the Montreal Screwjob?
I remember the pain it took to get there.
Yeah.
Remember it was about wrestling, and that is, and much my apologies to Mike Rhodes, who almost certainly gave us the suggestion.
Yes, you're correct. This was back in season one. So for those of you that may be listening for the first time, the way that we get our starting points is that we are going off of suggestions that we got from season one. So this was our episode 5, I believe, because we had a couple suggestions in several episodes, things like that. So episode 5 started at Big O Notation and ended at the Montreal Screwjob. And it did, from Big O Notation to Montreal Screwjob, took us 15 links. So I talk about our average over the seasons. That one hurt our average. That may have been one of our longest walks ever.
Indeed.
So there you go. But it is a, well, because at the time we didn't know. We didn't know if it was a move or if it was a thing that happened.
We knew nothing.
But now we know.
It's an event.
Yeah. An infamous unscripted professional wrestling incident that occurred on November 9th, 1997 at the Survivor Series pay-per-view at the Molson Center. That's in Montreal, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Oh, because, yes, the Montreal Screwjob. Oh, my God. All right. Well,
Montreal,
it's kicking in. You want to know how many I wrote down now?
Montreal, famously in Canada.
It's called the Montreal Screwjob. I'm an idiot. Anyway, what happened here? Vince McMahon and his employees covertly manipulated the outcome of the match between Bret Hart, the reigning WWF champion, which was still called the WWF back then, and Shawn Michaels. So there you go. It was a manipulation believed to be an off-screen betrayal of Bret Hart.
I tell you, in a comment that I almost certainly made in the first episode where we encountered the Montreal Screwjob, I am shocked to learn that a wrestling event was manipulated. The outcome was not genuine. So,
but there's no. I think what's amazing here is that it was unscripted. So yeah, that's the special thing to me, because look, professional wrestling folks, there's a script. There's generally a script. Not everything is scripted.
This one was improv.
This was some improv. This was some things going on that people didn't know about. So we've got to get to Prodigy, which is an internet service. I don't know. I guess it's not an internet service provider, but it's an internet service. So I'm thinking we go through some sort of communications route, unless Prodigy happens to be on this page.
No, I think that is an excellent route to go through. It's also nice because the time of the Montreal Screwjob in 1997, was during the heyday of a service like Prodigy, or perhaps slightly earlier, maybe?
No, it's later. Prodigy was around earlier than 97. Okay. By 97, and then the only reason I say this is by 97, I'm in college, and I was definitely using Prodigy when I was in high school. So I would say early 90s is Prodigy's like real hit. Maybe like 90 to 95 is more. The era, but it was still around in 97. And I do see internet is linked on this page.
What? Where?
Yeah. So under reactions, which is about maybe a third of the way down the page.
Because the internet is where people go to react to things.
Right. Rumors and expressions of surprise and shock pervaded the internet almost immediately after the match ended, which is something to say, because in 97, the internet wasn't as popular or as used as it is now, right? Yeah. So the fact that people are already on
there. It's taken off.
It really has. I think it's, I think it's going to be a hit. I think it's got a future.
I will also point out that Black Eye is linked, and I hovered over that, not because I think it's particularly useful, just because it says that a periorbital hematoma, commonly called a black eye. So if you get nothing else from today's episode, a black eye's official medical name is a periorbital hematoma.
So if you want to sound impressive, call it a periorbital hematoma.
People will be like,
are you a doctor? And you can say, I know as much as a doctor.
If you say that, people will roll their one good eye at you.
if they indeed have one.
Indeed.
Left, they could have two hematomas around their preorbital liberal. Preliberal orbital ramal.
Raymond. Sure, Raymond, that's right. Harold Ramis, that's it. Yeah, I mean, I really don't think that we're going to get any better than internet.
Don't think so either.
This could be a painfully quick episode.
I mean, it could be. I don't see anything else on here that's gonna get us any closer than internet. So I'm going to say that's the way to go.
Let's do it.
So there it is. Internet. We click on it and we're taken to, of course, a page called Internet. Not even the internet, just internet.
Absolutely.
And we're on
this
it.
This is incredible. And I would be shocked if Prodigy wasn't linked on this page.
You think it's on this page?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, I think it's on this page somewhere.
It could definitely be. There's a lot of website is on here, blogging, web feeds, food blog, I bet, is on here somewhere. That would have helped us last season, two seasons ago, last season. I don't remember when we did food blog, but maybe two seasons ago. So
now Yahoo is linked on here. Did we say that Yahoo bought Prodigy? Or was that just a guess?
I think that that's right. But now because
it's backtracking.
Yeah. Now that there's a chance that I could be wrong, and it could be a problem. I do see internet service providers on here. Which I kind of like a little better than Yahoo, because I would think that it would be under internet service providers. Instant messaging is on here, of which it definitely had some instant messaging capabilities.
There's a link under the C also, internets in quotes is also linked.
Internets
in quotes. And if you if you hover over it, internets, also known as the internets, is a Bushism turned catchphrase used humorously to portray the speaker as ignorant about the internet or about technology in general.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds right to me. I like that. Access to the internet. So broadband. Oh, modem. Modem is on here.
Ooh.
So modem might be a nice in as well. Oh, Pittsburgh is linked on here.
Is it now?
Yeah.
The city that I used to live in. Did you know that I used to live there?
Yeah, hold on. I got to put another thing on the board.
Okay. It's not Pittsburgh.
No, I know, but now I know where to start from.
There you go. Man, you're really narrowing it down.
I really am. So there's a lot of I was looking for like a specific like history section, which there is kind of, but it doesn't seem to be mentioned under history.
Is it not? That's bizarre, because I would have thought that would have been the or maybe because it was its own service that technically it's not considered the internet.
Well, that is possible, and that may be the reason that it is not on here. I do think though that like something like modem or internet service provider, communication, internet telephony. Internet telephony, VoIP. Even though it didn't start as an ISP, I think it became an ISP for a short time.
It
or
pivoted.
Maybe for a long time, for all I know.
They call that pivoting in the biz.
Which biz is that?
The tech biz.
Oh, do you know about the tech biz? Are you like a tech guy?
Oh, I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty deep roots in the tech biz.
Oh, that must mean you make a lot of money, because everyone in the tech business makes a ton of money.
Huge, embarrassing amounts of money. Every 2 weeks, they just dump a wheelbarrow full of cash on my front yard.
Just embarrassed by it, I bet.
Yeah, it's very embarrassing.
You walk out with like red faced and you're like,
I really do. It's super embarrassing. So CompuServe, I see.
Oh, you do? Here. Oh, CompuServe.
So under history, it says steady advances in semiconductor technology and optical networking created new economic opportunities for. I should have started with another sentence.
I guess. In
mid-1989, MCI Mail and CompuServe established connections to the internet, delivering email and public access products to the 500,000 users of the internet.
Well, there you go.
500,000 users.
So that might be it. So email was definitely a thing that you could do through Prodigy. Right. Like that was without a doubt, because that's how in fact, it started with just the little, those numbers I gave you. Right. But then eventually you got an email address, which was those numbers at prodigy. I'm assuming com. Once they actually like got onto this, the whole like internet thing. So CompuServe might be, because they are very closely, like they were definitely around at the same time. So that may be the way to go, even better than modem. I'm still working my way through the page here. I just got down to C also, and I don't see anything down there that's too helpful. Although I haven't gone all the way down. Cloud computing, telecommunications. Could it be under telecommunications?
Could be.
Possibly. No. Oh no, that's. Oh, pioneers. Is Prodigy considered a pioneer? Alexander Graham Bell. And Prodigy, of course. No, they're not. They're not the same. I see cellular network, Ethernet, ISDN, LAN, mobile. Yeah, no, these aren't.
I tell you what, this does bring to mind an opportunity. So you know how, like, the kids, you can occasionally force them to suffer old technology as a way of making them grateful for all the things that they have. So, like, you can play a vinyl record so that they can appreciate their Zune or whatever they're listening to their MP3s on.
Sure.
That children, when they're first introduced to the internet, should have to go through, like, shitty early services like AOL and Prodigy just so they can see how limiting it was.
Yes.
It's like the Oregon Trail of education, where you
and it took so long to connect to the internet and then for anything to happen on there. Like, when it was graphical, it was like Delphi was another service that we were on. It was all text. So it actually moved pretty quickly. But the graphic stuff on Prodigy, it made it much easier to access things, but gosh, oh man, did it take forever.
That broken JPEG image was a regular feature of early internet life, where you're like, the browser hasn't downloaded the image.
Yep, that's it. Yep. That was it. All right. Well, I mean, computer networks is linked at the very top of the page. So I think that there's a possibility that that would work out well for us.
Possibly.
I think modem, I think CompuServe, and I think, what was the other one that I said before?
ISP, Internet Service Provider.
There was another one, I think, though. I feel like there was another one that I saw later that I thought might be good, but I don't remember what it is. I think any of those are possible ins. One of them will probably have it on their page. It was not a popular one, right? So there is a chance that, like, you know, since CompuServe's on here, like, maybe Prodigy's not popular enough to be on anybody's page, which would be a problem.
I don't know. But, like, when Dave mentioned Prodigy, my little memory brain was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, you knew about it? Okay.
I definitely. And it was also like, it may not have been popular, but that was by virtue of the fact it was super early. So,
right.
It's like saying that the Wright Brothers airline wasn't a popular airline. It wasn't, but it's going to get mentioned because it was one of the early ones.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So I think any of those are possible ways to go. What do you like? Oh, Yahoo, I guess we had mentioned at one point, because there's a chance that they purchased Prodigy.
I like internet service providers, because that's really what Prodigy was.
More than modem or CompuServe?
Because modem, I feel like, is just going down the hardware route, and not the service provider. Like, it'd be like trying to get to Universal Studios by going through DVD player. I stand by that. I stand by the metaphor.
I don't like it, but I understand what you're trying to say.
Okay. Well, therefore you like it. You're welcome.
I like it.
So, yeah. And CompuServe was a competitor or a later.
Which is why I think it's going to be on the CompuServe page, because I think it'll be at least under the C also, right?
Let me ask you this. Was CompuServe an internet service provider?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if they ever became... I don't know. What do you technically... What is the technical definition of an ISP? I guess I don't know. So maybe you know that's a reason to go, right?
Maybe we'll teach ourselves by clicking on internet service providers.
Okay, so I have lost that particular link. Do you know where it is?
If you scroll down to scroll up to infrastructure, the first subsection of infrastructure is service tiers, and that sentence begins, internet service providers establish the worldwide connectivity between individual networks and various levels of scope.
Oh, yes, I see it. All right, are we ready? Are we going to go there?
Let's do it. Let's go.
Internet service provider.
Bing, bang, boom. Here we go.
Okay. And I'm typing it into our little spreadsheet here so that we don't forget it.
During the 1980s, online service providers such as CompuServe and America Online began to offer limited capabilities to access internet.
Come on.
Those two are listed.
See, this is what I'm telling you. America Online. See, it was just not as popular as those ones.
Damn you, Dave Foreman.
I see Gmail.
It's the Hydrox of internet service providers.
It is. I got a lot of male servers on here. Not male versus female, but male as in M-A-I-L.
Yeah.
It's not even under the C also.
There's an index under C. Also, there's an index of internet related articles, which there's also internet hosting service. But I feel like that's not quite what we're looking for. Hold on a second here. I got it.
Under external links, down at the bottom, there's that the old purple area. There's cable ISP, satellite ISP, fiber ISP, copper, DSL ISP, and defunct ISP. And listed under there is none other than Prodigy.
Now, let me ask you a question here, Matthew. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says external links. So is that going to take us outside of the hermetically sealed bubble of Wikipedia, the only universe that this podcast exists in?
No. These are just links to other Wikipedia pages, I think.
So they're external to the page. They're not external to Wikipedia.
Yes, that seems to be the case, because as I'm mousing over them, they show me a little preview, and they also down at the bottom, I can see the URL, and this one does take you indeed to the Prodigy one. Now, what's interesting about this is I never noticed that these were called external links. Is this cheating?
No, it's not cheating.
Are you sure?
Positive.
We would only use the links on the page, and the fact that these are called external links makes me feel like we shouldn't be allowed to use these.
Is it on the page? The answer is yes, listener. The answer is yes.
I'm going to kind of put my foot down here. I don't think we should be allowed to use these purple boxes at all anymore. We used these a lot to get out of things last season, and I think it's a cheat. I think it's a cheat just as bad as the categories pages.
Wow, that is a hot take.
Yeah.
From you.
Yep.
That is totally reinvents the rules of the podcast.
I don't think it reinvents the rules. I think it's following the rules to the letter. No, it follows the rules to the letter instead of the spirit.
First of all,
I mean, the spirit instead of the letter. I mixed that up.
First of all, there is no letter because there is no document that writes these rules down.
Then there you go. So I can change these anytime I want, apparently. So I say we should not be allowed to use these.
All right. Hold on a second. I see what's going on here.
What's going on?
You have written a higher number. And you realize that if we click this link,
a higher number than 3. Yes, I have written a higher number than 3. If you wrote 3, then I will follow. I will go to Prodigy right now.
Okay.
Did you write 3?
I wrote a number that contains 3.
It contains 3.
It contains 3.
If you wrote 3, then I will go to Prodigy right now. Otherwise, I'm going to say we are not allowed to use these purple boxes this season.
All right. First of all, red challenge flag. You can't introduce a new rule.
Did you write 3?
You can't. No.
Did
I didn't
you
write
3?
No.
Well, then if you didn't write 3, then I say we have to go. We have to use the links that are on the page, not these external links.
First of all, we have always used these external links.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think we've done it wrong. Just because you do something wrong before doesn't mean you need to continue to do something wrong, Jethro.
Oh. Okay. First of all, I dispute your categorization that this is wrong.
Oh, you do?
I 100% do. And also, I will throw out there that it is on the page. You have to click show for these little things to pop up. It is completely legitimate information. It links to a Wikipedia source. And also, you can't reinvent the rules after the guesses have been made. That is moving the goalposts in an obscene and self-serving manner, my friend.
No. First of all, not self-serving. Secondly,
Did you write down two?
Listen, I understand that's why I'm saying if you wrote down 3, I am happy to go with this now, give you your win, and move on. Okay. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm so committed to this idea, you can win the episode regardless of what numbers we wrote down.
No, that's ridiculous. I want to win.
But see, your argument here is that I'm moving the goalposts and that this is all self-serving. It is not self-serving. I honestly believe that because these are called external links, this is not a fair thing for us to be doing, that we should be using the links that are in the article.
The, the, that that would have been great to have brought up during the weeks of pre-production planning that we had. How many meetings did we have talking
about? I had a bunch of meetings. I came to your house seven or eight times, and you weren't at any of the meetings. So I passed a whole bunch of new shit.
You did not join my AOL cyber chat room where I said all of the meetings were going to happen. You could have brought this up at any time.
I don't know your IM name. It's not my fault.
Listen, I'm not going to ask Z253118 or whoever your friend from camp was. She knows it.
RKBJ68B.
Oh,
I don't want to use her real name because that's not what
somebody did. Oh yeah, if you listed her real Prodigy ID, man, she would.
No,
she
that's her real Prodigy ID. I don't want to use her actual name because I don't want to incriminate anyone.
Okay, well, I mean, you've listed.
You're really so against this. Why are you so against this? If it has nothing to do with winning or losing this particular episode, why are you so against this?
Because you were, first of all, because you're changing rules midstream.
But I've discovered new information.
First of all, that's all. They've always been called external links.
I didn't
notice.
You're just
fixating on it now. Okay, well, then why should I be punished? Because you're not observant.
You're not being punished.
Yeah,
you're not being punished.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right. And I'll tell you, I'll also just
continue the episode? Is that the idea?
First of all, no, I want to continue the episode according to the well-established rules of British common law and this podcast.
Go
back to how it's
point of
used.
Order. Point of order.
And also, quite frankly, I won't be link shamed. I'm
not trying to link shame you.
You 100% are. You're shaming me for this arbitrarily named category of external links, which is a misnomer because they don't go external to Wikipedia. And quite frankly, they are just not in the main text of the article. They have been
right.
It's settled law that these are completely fair links to go to.
That is what we have done in the past. You're absolutely correct. And I am positing that we stop doing that.
This is another example of judicial activism where some high and mighty self-appointed lifetime podcast host thinks that they can just make a new rule that disregards the great tradition of this podcast.
All right. Jethro, will you accept that we use it this time, but not use it moving forward?
No. Why on earth would we? Why on earth? First of all,
because
you know
it's
I'm
a cheat. It's a cheat.
It's not a cheat.
It's not. It's external to the article.
It is a lifeline. Some of these articles
are
short,
but we don't need a lifeline right now. We've gone through two links. We've gone through three pages. We don't need a lifeline right now. If this was our 15th page, then I'd be all for it. How about this? No. How about if we are at 10 or more links, then we are permitted to go down to the purple box. How does that sound?
How about this?
Yeah.
Let's settle this.
I know what's going
to happen
here.
Old West style.
Old
West style.
Remember, right? Revolver.
So we click on the link
now. More bourbon.
Good, because you're going to need it, friend. We click on this perfectly legitimate link now, and we get to Prodigy.
Yeah.
And that is the resolution of the episode. And then to determine whether or not external links are going to be a valid resource that we can use for the remainder of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
We do a race off from Montreal Screwjob to Prodigy without the external links. Mm-hmm. And whoever gets there first, you or me, in the fewest number of links, gets to determine. They get to pick whether or not external links are fair game for the remainder of the season.
I mean, here's the problem with that is that mm-hmm. that ignores mm-hmm. the fact that these are external to the article, which makes them out of bounds. It's not an opinion. They are definitely external to the article. That is a fact. They are external to the article. That's why they're called external links, clearly, because they don't go to external sites, right? So they are external links because they're external to the article. Do you agree that they are external to the article? I'm not asking whether or not they are legitimate for us to use. Are they external to the article?
I don't agree with your
you don't agree that they're external to the article.
Everything on the page is valid as long as it's a link to Wikipedia. That is the whole point of us. And if you're not gonna,
I'll do your race. Click on Prodigy. Would you? God, everybody's tired of listening to this.
No, they are.
They're not going to listen to The Race because they're gonna.
First of all, I'm getting a lot of fan email right now coming in.
That doesn't make any sense. We're not live.
No, because time is a singular point. So,
all right. We did get to Prodigy online service. Prodigy Communications Corporation, an online service from 84 to 2001. So there you go. Now, don't read too much more on this because we're going to do a race. So I'm not going any further down on the page. Don't you do it either. We're going to go back to Montreal Screwjob. But it took us three links to get there. Three links. That may be our shortest ever, or at least a tie for our shortest ever. How many links did you wager, Jethro?
I wagered four links.
Four links. Congratulations. You're the winner. I wagered five links. Okay. You were going to be the winner anyway, because I told you could win, but that's okay.
No, you can't just make up new rules.
No. I'm not.
You can't. You're just.
I can make up new rules. This is my show just as much as it is yours. Of course I can make up new rules.
But I can't make up new rules either.
Sure you can.
No, I can't. I have to submit them in writing to the rules committee. They have to be vetted. They have to be voted on. We got to send it to corporate. We got to get it translated so all of our documents can be updated. Come on. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So now
we're doing a race.
All right. We are doing a race.
We're going to find out if purple is legit or not. Or purple is not legit, because that's not even fair. We're not determining if it's legit or not. We're determining if you can use purple links on Drunkard's Walk moving forward. That's what we're determining.
So let me ask you this. So for the purposes of this race, we are removing external links.
Yes.
Does that include categories? Because if you go to the bottom of the Montreal Screwjob page.
Yes, it excludes categories. Categories have always been excluded. Okay.
No.
Unless, again, I there's a proviso on all this, right? If we go over 10, I'm happy to open up the possibilities.
Oh. Okay?
No, because that's only
when
legitimate.
When you really need them, then they're okay. Okay.
Jethro, here's the thing. People want to listen to this podcast for only a certain amount of time, and it's less than what this episode has been so far, but they don't want to listen to us go on for hours and hours and hours, nor do they even want us to get to that 20 that we set as our limit, right? So I say after 10.
That's not the fan mail I'm getting.
You're getting the wrong fan. I don't know where you're getting that from either. What is it addressed to? What is the address that it's addressed to? I want to check to make sure it's right.
JB24819@copyserve.net.
Okay. So anyway, I'm saying if it's after 10, I'm absolutely open to categories and I'm open to purple links. But you're not okay with that. You want to do this race to see if we can do it just purple regardless. Just do whatever, because why not? You're an American, so want to do the fucking lazy thing, right? That's a good idea. No. It's a good move. I like it. It looks good on you.
Wow. I am under attack. I cannot believe it.
You are under attack.
The lazy thing? Okay. Yeah,
that's right.
All right. Well, listen.
Now, listen.
You're just mad because I took a dig at British people earlier, and you're married to a British person a formerly British person.
Here's the biggest problem is that we can't go out of Montreal Screwjob on internet because we used that last time. So we have to find another way out, which is going to take us way longer, regardless of what it is, than our last one took. But I have mine.
Oh, do you now?
I do.
You have yours.
I do.
Okay, very good. I have mine. Mine is San Jose, California.
Okay, mine's America Online.
What?
That's where I'm going out, America Online.
You son of a bitch. Where is America Online on this page?
It is under resolution.
Oh my God. I can't believe America Online was on here. I'm definitely going to lose. I'm absolutely going to lose.
It could be all right.
No, I'm absolutely going to lose. All right, San Jose.
No, well, I can't use the categories or anything at the bottom. So, you know, you may be okay.
No, you're fine. All right, let's go. First link, San Jose, California.
Yes, right. And I went to America Online.
And Prodigy is the first link available for the page.
Yes, I will be clicking on Prodigy from here.
Fuck you! You bastard!
By the mid-1990s, it passed Prodigy, which for several years allowed AOL advertising and CompuServe. So there it is, Prodigy. I'm done. Oh my God, that actually was less. That was less than our initial one. How did we miss America Online being on that Montreal Screwjob page? We could have gotten there faster.
I am really, really... really wounded by that.
Here's the good news, folks. Our podcast is now going to be actually legitimate because the purples are verboten before 10 links.
You know what? I want to hear what the people have to say. So if you're a fan of the podcast, please write in. Tag us on the social medias and let us know if
find our TikTok. Okay. I'm going to make a video about this and you can duet with it or you can stitch it and give us your thoughts on it. Give us your thoughts.
That's right.
Should the purples be legit? Should the external links be legitimate links to take?
Should the links that we've been using for six seasons with no problem or controversy continue to be used?
That's right. Because, and here's the thing, like, America did this too. Like America had slaves for a long time. And then like we should still have them, right, Jethro? Because we had them for a really long time. So we should probably still have them, right, Jethro? Because that's the way it works, right? Even if you realize that something's wrong, you keep doing it. Is that right, Jethro? Is that how it works?
I cannot believe that. Is that how it works, Jethro? So racist as to equate the use of external links to slavery,
Jethro,
you diminish the suffering of millions of slaves.
No, I diminish nothing. I am using hyperbole, and I am using a much larger thing to prove a point to you.
Cancel when culture is coming mistakes, for you, my friend.
When you discover mistakes, you correct those mistakes. You don't continue to do them.
I won't be link shamed.
You don't have to be link shamed.
So. To extend this ridiculous, stupid metaphor of yours.
Oh no!
That if we get
extended,
if we get over 10 links into an episode, you're okay to have.
Then you can have a slave.
That is terrible.
Right. Well, if there's too much work to do, what are you going to do?
I tell you what, listeners. Matt has had a lot of 120 proof bourbon.
There's a lot of this. It's rebel bourbon.
His selection of metaphor for his argument ad absurdum is depleted. So please understand that Matt is suffering from that. So I tell you what, the slippery slope is coming because you've won fair and square the challenge that I set up.
That's the first race I've ever won. So let's just all celebrate that for a couple seconds.
Could have been there in two. It would have been something.
Oh man,
something to behold. But I tell you what, first they come for the external links, and the next thing he's going to come for is the see alsos. So I'm just saying, people, slippery slope.
True. See alsos. That's a good point.
And then it's going to be like, that's linked under an image. It's not part of the article.
Now you're being crazy. Now you're being a crazy man. Jethro, this has been a blast. I'm so happy to be back for season 7, and I'm so glad that it's more confrontational than ever. I can't wait to see what we argue about next week, because this has been a real experience. And we had Dave Foreman on, which is amazing. This has been a little bit of a supersized episode 1 for season 7. So this is it, folks. But it only took us 3 links. Maybe this is the season where we're going to have little tiny episodes, little micro episodes.
Seems unlikely, given that half of the links have been removed from the field of play.
It is possible. It is possible. Good luck, everybody. And I hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, Matt Hartman here again. Thanks so much for listening to Drunkard's Walk. A big thank you to Jesse L.E. for our theme music and Nick Harmio for our artwork. And a thank you again to you for listening. Just a reminder, we are on Patreon. If you'd like to give us some support, we would really appreciate that. It helps us kind of keep the show going. Also, give us a rating or review on iTunes if you can do that. That way we can get more listeners. You can also find us on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can send us an email at drunkardswalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can give us topic suggestions. All of this and more is at our Linktree. That's Linktree/drunkardswalk. And hey, check it all out. Interact with us. Give us some comments. Send us some emails with how did you do on your walk? Were you able to get there faster than we were? We've got a really exciting season 7 shaping up here. So we hope that you'll join us for the whole ride. And hey, go back and listen to some of our old stuff. You can't find seasons 1 and 2. Well, those are just for our patrons. So go ahead over to Patreon, sign up there, and you'll be able to listen to those episodes as well. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.